God demonstrates compassion for His creation, even if His servants foolishly run from Him and His purposes. In the case of Jonah here, it was a purpose of compassion.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
I'm going to ask you a challenging question in just a moment. But first, a little context. Americans and much of the world, frankly, has been horrified and sickened by the actions of ISIS, the so-called Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Many of us, we've seen those hostage videos. And you know what they did to the men in those videos. Beheading, stonings, crucifixion, even, yes, beheading and crucifying Christians, including children. Now, I'm not going to show you any photographs of their handiwork, but it is out there, available. So I wonder, what do you think of ISIS, of these men, of their philosophy, of their actions? How do you feel about them? Well, that was not the challenging question I was going to ask you. This is the challenging question I was going to ask you. What if God said to you right now, go to Syria and preach to ISIS? What would you say? Would you say something like this? No way. No how. I'm not going to do that, Lord. And it'd be very understandable why you would feel that way. Why you would refuse to obey God's command to go to them. We're going to continue our series, though, today, majoring on the minors, about a prophet who felt a lot like many of you just felt a moment ago. And felt that way for the same reasons. It's a story that you and I probably know pretty well. Probably learned it if you've been going to Sunday school since you were little. You heard it very, very early. It's the story of Jonah. In which we learn from Jonah, though, you can run, but you can't hide. Many of us know that story of how Jonah ran from the Lord, God's call on him, but some of us don't realize why he was doing it. And the reason he was doing it was the same reason just a moment ago you perhaps said in your heart, no way to going to Syria and preaching to ISIS. But in Jonah's case, it goes even a little deeper. It wasn't just his hatred for a wicked and cruel nation. It was also based on his knowledge of God. You see, that he knew that God is gracious and merciful and compassionate and forgiving. And he didn't want, in effect, ISIS to be forgiven. He wanted destruction and judgment on them. But God demonstrates His compassion for His creation, even if His servants foolishly run from Him and His purposes. First, a brief introduction to Jonah. Jonah lived about 800 years before the time of Christ. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And there's something a little different about the book of Jonah from some of the other prophetic books, in which the focus of the book of Jonah is on the prophet himself. more than the actual message that God gave him. It's all about him and his response. Jonah is told to go and preach repentance in Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. In Assyria, they were a hated and despised enemy of Israel. They were a powerful nation. They were a ferocious nation. And they were known for their wickedness, for their cruelty, for their atrocities. And Jonah didn't want to go there. Does that sound just a little bit like what we were talking about a moment ago? Absolutely. So what is the story of Jonah? Well, you know it, but we're going to go through it again here and look at how this story unfolds and then ask ourselves a couple of more uncomfortable questions at the end. It starts off with an unthinkable command. God tells his prophet Jonah to do something unthinkable. How could he possibly ask me to do that? Jonah 1 verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." By the way, can you flee from the presence of the Lord? But he wanted to. "He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." So Jonah is given an unthinkable command. I can't do that. He didn't want to do that any more than you and I would want to go to Syria now and preach to ISIS. Funny thing about Jonah, though, is it wasn't that he was motivated by fear. We might not want to go to Syria because we would fear what would happen to us. But that wasn't Jonah's fear at all. We'll see in just a moment what that fear was. So Jonah rebels. He refuses to go. And this is what he did. You can see on the map up there. There he was in the land of Israel. Went down, instead of going to Nineveh, which was what? East. What does he do? Goes down to the sea, to Joppa, he gets in the boat, and where's Tarshish? Isn't it interesting that, symbolically speaking, it is as far away as you can go in the opposite direction? Isn't that interesting? Well, you say, no, it isn't. You could keep going, you know, out into the Atlantic. Well, they didn't know about the New World then, did they? Tarshish is about as far away as you could go in the opposite direction. That's his intention. But a little something happened along the way. It says, verse 4, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his god." These were pagan sailors. "And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your god. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'" So here were these pagan sailors in fear of their life because of this great storm. They're crying out to their gods, and here's a man asleep. Says, "Hey, Maybe your God would. Our gods aren't helping us. Maybe your God will help. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. It was their practice. Something terrible is happening. Obviously, the gods are angry with us, and it's someone here has done something that angered a god. And we don't know who's, which one, what's going on here, so we cast lots. And so that, through this way, the gods will reveal who the problem is. Well, it wasn't the gods who revealed who the problem was. Who was it? The God, the only God, revealed through that who the problem was. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous, and he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. It's incredible, though, what happens next. There's a great, great contrast here between Jonah and these pagan sailors over compassion for others and fear of the Lord. So he's told, Jonah says, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard and your problem is solved. So do the men do it? Not right away. This is what, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. And therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Isn't it incredible the contrast here? The compassion and fear of the Lord that these pagans had, whereas the Lord's own prophet did not have compassion for others and was running from the Lord. But then the Lord had mercy, didn't he? Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And if you think there's a biblical prophetic significance to that, you're right. Jesus references it, doesn't he? Do you think this might have gotten your attention if you were Jonah? If you were running and this, when you were tossed overboard, thinking surely you were going to die. But then God has mercy. Now you find yourself in the belly of a great fish. Sometimes it's taken extreme circumstances to change my attitude. Anybody else in here needed that? I know there's a man in our congregation here that is, I've heard him say this before. I know that he likes to listen to what the Lord is saying to him the first time so that he doesn't have to get the 2x4 upside the head. Right? Well, Jonah got the 2x4 and then some, didn't he? But nevertheless, God was merciful. And so in chapter 2 then, we see Jonah's repentance. He cries out to the Lord in his distress. Cries out in great, great distress. But nevertheless, then giving thanks for God's salvation. And then, of course, in every junior high boy's favorite scripture verse, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, says what? And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So Jonah then has another opportunity, a second chance to obey. And he does. He goes to Nineveh and he preaches. He does as the Lord had told them. And then the worst thing imaginable happens. Nineveh repents. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go out into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. This was an incredible message. This great and powerful nation, in 40 days you will be overthrown. Now, if God was not working through Jonah in the hearts of these people, do you think they would have repented? If God wasn't working in their hearts? No, they wouldn't have. But God was. God had determined to be merciful to them, to be compassionate to them who didn't deserve it at all. Now, later on, that nation would indeed be judged. But it was God's will and intention at this time to be merciful to them. And they repented. It says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. And they called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And even the king repented. And verse 10 tells us of chapter 3, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. That disaster was averted because they turned, they repented, and God was merciful to them. And in Jonah's mind, their repentance was the disaster because he hated them and he wanted to see them judged. He wanted to see them destroyed. Even after they repented, he was still hoping for judgment. Look what happens, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. It displeased Jonah exceedingly is a biblical euphemism for he was angry. He may have used some words that I won't use here this morning. Displeased him exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, now here we see something very interesting. Jonah didn't refuse to go because he was afraid of what might happen to him there, that he might be killed. This is what he was afraid of. Verse 2, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Why did he go? Because he knew they would repent and this would happen, because God is gracious and merciful. And how angry is he? Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah was angry. Exceedingly angry because of his hatred for these people and his desire to see them destroyed. He fled from God, thinking that perhaps that would somehow avert God's compassion on them and they would be destroyed. Text even says what? Jonah went out of the city and he sat to the east of the city and he made a booth for himself there. And he sat under it in the shade till he should see what the Lord, what would become of the city. He was even yet holding out hope that the city might yet be destroyed. So now he is sitting out there, he's waiting, and it's hot. And God, the gracious and compassionate God, does something for him. It says, now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. He was exceedingly angry that the people repented and were spared destruction and disaster, death. But he's exceedingly happy about the plant because it's providing shade for him. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. Has anybody here been this angry about something so foolish? I have. And the Lord said, you pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? He's talking about children. And also much cattle. Jonah, you're angry about the plant here. You pity the plant. And yet you had nothing to do with that plant that was up in a night and gone. And here is a great city in which there are 120,000 children. And by the way, if that's not enough to have pity, there's also much cattle. You don't have any compassion for their animals either. So the Lord's compassion is shown on them. How many of you think this is an odd book with a very odd ending? And it ends right there. Did Jonah ever repent of his anger over this? We don't know. I hope so. But he didn't. In the text, Jonah hated them and wanted to see them destroyed. But he knew that God is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. So he tried to run. But it was futile. And when God's purpose was fulfilled, then he was angry. And God said, Jonah, you think you have a right to be angry about this? Do you do well to be angry? There's an expression I like that I kind of captures the thought of when the Lord says, do you do well to be angry? And that's this expression. And how's that working out for you? Yeah. Right? Jonah, how's your anger? How's the anger thing working out for you? Now, Jonah, you have compassion for this plant, but you don't have any compassion for a great city in which there are 120,000 children, not to mention all their livestock, too. But you don't have a problem with just the destruction of all of that when I'm choosing to be compassionate and merciful. So what? What do you want me to do with this story? Well, I would remind us again that God demonstrates compassion for his creation, even if his servants foolishly run from him and his purposes. God has purposes. And even when we run from him, his sovereign purposes will still be accomplished. In the case of Jonah here, it was a purpose of compassion. So I want to conclude with a couple of awkward questions. First one is this. Got compassion? Yeah, we've all seen the advertisements for milk, haven't we? Got milk? Have you got compassion? Do you have compassion for the lost? And let's get more specific about it. About the people that really anger you, and you think they deserve judgment. Compassionate for them? How many would say that for ISIS, your first thought is compassion and mercy and praying for them? My first thought is more airstrikes, okay? How many of you cheered when the airstrikes finally started against him? Yeah? And you know what? I'm not saying that the airstrikes shouldn't be going on right now. But what I am asking is, what's in our hearts, though? Because God is sovereign over airstrikes, too, isn't he? And guess what? Judgment eventually did come to Nineveh. We'll see about that a little bit later in this series. But not then. It was not God's purpose then. Here's the other uncomfortable question. Are you running? Are you running from God? So I think this is a great application point in this story for us all, isn't it? We see the futility of running from God. And you know, I think there are many ways that we can run from God. We can run from God for many different reasons. We run from... Now, we know you cannot truly run from the presence of the Lord, can we? No matter where we are, God is there, isn't he? But we do try to run from the calling of God or the purposes of God. And we may have different reasons for why we're doing that. One of them may be Jonah's reason. Anger. Jonah ran because he was angry. He knew that God was gracious and compassionate, and he did not want to see them repent. He was angry, and he ran from that. But what did God say to him? Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Jonah, how's that working out for you? How is your anger working out for you? How has your anger worked out for you? How has my anger worked out for me? Well, I can tell you. I had a time in my youth, I've told you about that before, when I was angry with God. How did that work out for me? Ultimately, pretty well, because I'm standing here, because God is gracious and merciful and compassionate. But then and there, how was that working out for me? If you would have asked me then, I would have said, not so good. God understands our anger. And he's merciful and he was compassionate to me. But we do not do well to be angry with God and God's purposes. Anger is one of the reasons we run from God. Another reason we may run from God is fear. Well, we are afraid of what God is telling us. Well, we know God, it's just, that could be a very uncomfortable or a dangerous situation. Or it might, heaven forbid, it might require sacrifice on my part. I'm afraid of the consequences of obedience, that it will be difficult, that it will be painful, that it may require more than I can give or feel like I can give. Which leads us into another reason why sometimes we run from God is because we have little faith. We have more fear than faith. And you know, I've learned a few things since those days of my misspent youth. One of those things that I've learned is that God's faithfulness and God's love is far greater than anything I ever feared. And I didn't do well to be angry. And the fact is, too, when we run from God's purposes, we miss opportunities then. We miss opportunities to be instruments of blessing to people. People who are desperately in need of God's mercy and compassion. I want to close with quoting some. This is back in those days of my misspent youth. There was a song I couldn't get away with. I couldn't get away from. Couldn't get away with it either. But I couldn't get away from this. There was, and there still is, a contemporary Christian singer named David Meese. Some of you know him. And he had a song. It was called "And You Know It's Right." And I loved that song. And then I was in my little dark valley there for a while. And there's that song. You know, the Lord speaks to us in different ways, doesn't he? Sometimes it's through the music. And here was this song. And I want to tell you, I'm not going to go through the whole thing with all the choruses and everything, but I want to give you a little taste of this. And here's my, I offer this to you today because I'm asking you, saying, may it haunt you the way it haunted me. But may it also, though, touch your heart and encourage you the way it touched my heart and encouraged me. But he says this, when something in the deepest part of you is telling you the things you need to do, something in the very heart of you is showing you the things you know are true. You can hear it now, growing stronger now. Feel it reaching out to grip the heart in you. And you know it's right. And you know that you need him tonight. And you know that you've been running away too long. And you know it's right, and you know that you owe him your life. Because you know that he's given his life for you. Somewhere deep inside, when you know it's right, there's just no other place for you to run. And when something deep inside your very soul and mind is begging you to do what must be done, you know you've got to give it up. You've got to give it all. Give everything you are. Because everything you want, you know you'll find it in Him. In Him. Let's pray. Lord, we have run from You at times. Maybe it's because we are angry. We're disappointed. You've not done for us what we wanted You to do or thought that You should do for us, and we've been angry, and it has not gone well for us. We did not do well to be angry. Or maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're afraid of what You might ask us to do. Maybe we must admit that our faith is weak. But God, we know that You are a gracious and merciful God. And deep, deep down in our hearts, we know that all that we are searching for, all that we truly want, is found in You. So, Lord, we confess our anger, we confess our fear, we confess the littleness of our faith. We repent of that and we turn from that and we entrust ourselves to You now, knowing that You are a gracious and merciful God, a compassionate God, and that we can entrust ourselves to You and Your purposes. For where You will lead, You will provide. Lord, may Your purposes be realized in our lives. May we stop running from You, say yes to You, and give You everything, give You all of us, for You deserve no less. And Lord, may we be instruments of blessing to people in the world who desperately need Your merciful and compassionate touch, people who desperately need the Savior. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.